We're here with Ellen Sinopoli from the Ellen Sinopoli Dance Company, a Troy, New York-based company that's performing on the 7th of March at the Troy Savings Bank. Your company is, what, 28, 29 years
29,
old?
29, I know.
How wonderful. Were you always a dancer?
I was. I come from a family of artists. My mother was a professional dancer. My father, a professional musician. And by the time I was born, my mother was not performing anymore, but was teaching. So I'm sure I was in that studio before I could walk.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it just became part of me.
Part of your life. So you were, was it a classical dance or?
My mother and father were involved in the performance world in the early 1920s. So during vaudeville,
wow.
They were performing, my mother when she was 13, my father when he was 16. So the type of thing, that dance that my mother did were called revues. So there would be a tap dance and there would be a ballet dance and a lyrical dance and so forth and so on. So her background was a mixture of all of that. So basically she was running what I would consider a local dance school as I was growing up, and we did all of those kinds of dance. However, when I was a teenager, and this was in Hartford, Connecticut, when I was a teenager, I was introduced to modern dance. And my teacher was someone by the name of Trudah Cashman, who worked directly with Alvin Nikolai, who was a very famous choreographer. So I was introduced to modern dance as a teenager. Most people learn about it maybe as a college student. I majored in dance at college and then went on to perform out in the Boston area mostly. And I taught at a performing arts high school. And then at a point in my career when I was not performing anymore, I wasn't sure how much teaching I wanted to do. We moved up to the Capital Region, my husband and I, for his work. And I just decided that I wanted to put together a professional modern dance company.
Were you always a choreographer? Or
no.
Was that always something in your background?
No.
Well, what brought you into choreography?
It's just the process.
Yeah.
You know, when you're younger, you want to perform. You want to be a performer. As that part of your career progresses, you may move into teaching as well. You may move into a certain amount of choreography. I had done a lot of choreography at this performing arts high school, and I was working with very, very talented teenagers, but I wanted to work with professional adult dancers. And this is where I happened to be at that point in my life. It was during a recession. Everybody told me I was nuts, but I said, okay.
Okay, I'm nuts. Might as well enjoy myself. You get inspiration for your creations, for your choreography, through music, basically, or through life, through social interactions?
I think it can cover all of that spectrum. I am very, I guess because of my father, very musically oriented. But I do tend to pay attention to 20th and 21st century music, primarily. I did not plan to become a collaborator. But in the process of this 29 years, I've done 40 or more collaborations, different kinds of artists, and not all artists. I've worked with a physicist. I have worked with an architect. You can get your inspiration. My feeling is you have to keep your eyes and ears open. Well, I'm a very visual person.
Yeah.
That's how I learn. This was with Frances Brunet, or Brunette, who was at RPI when we did this in the architecture department. She is now the president of Pratt. But she approached me about two big projects. One we did in a storefront in Troy on River Street, which had to do with malleable space. And then the other we did in the gas holder building in Troy.
Oh,
big
yes.
Round, and we created a vertical stage wrapped in spandex, strips of spandex. And so it was marvelous to work with her. I mean, it was just really, it was outside the box in many ways.
Oh, lovely. But you've also worked with artists and composers and musicians.
And poets.
Yeah. And everything from accordions to Indian music to, I mean, I think any music has stimulated some
it
of
can.
Your work.
Yeah. It certainly can. And it's very, and just like with the Bach cello suites, they came to me about this performance that's going to happen on March 7th.
At the Troy Music Hall.
Right, and yeah. This is this celebration of the 300th year of Bach writing the cello suites. And they were going to do this performance, but they wanted with cellists, but they wanted to incorporate dance. So they asked me about participating. So one of the cellists, Ashley Bathgate, will be performing live. She had pieces of music that were, they were not written by her. She's performing them, that were inspired by the Bach cello suites.
Oh, right.
So they have a very different contemporary feel to them. And so I chose one of those, and we created a work for the concert. To me, it's a very unique piece of music. It has all these components, moments of stillness in it, and space. We ended up calling the dance Within the Quiet. And I was experimenting with moving, allowing movement to occur versus forcing it, and not often with impulse, and how that works.
See, now we're getting to how do you describe dance?
Yeah,
on the radio. And I've been reading some of these reviews of your work. So, sensuous flow, suggestions of life unfolding over time.
Every time I choreograph, and I'm up to 100.
Oh, okay? Wow.
Every time I choreograph, I try to challenge myself in a different way. So this piece was looking at this sense of space and sense of quiet and lack of effort, and yet still making it as interesting visually as possible, and being driven and inspired by the music. But now Ashley had another piece of music that she wanted me to listen to by a different composer, which is an entirely different dynamic of flying all over the place and huge momentum.
Oh.
And so I've actually gotten her to agree to perform both pieces for our May concert.
May 9th or something,
right.
And that's
right.
At
the Egg, right. And we have the Capitol Trio performing there live as well, which is the resident classical trio from UAlbany, University at Albany. So lots of live music at that.
And you do work with a lot of local artists and musicians.
I do. That's one of the things I discovered when I moved here, is that there's an enormous just group of very talented artists in all kinds of fields, and they want to work together. So that's great.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Absolutely. Theater doesn't come involved with this, mostly. You are dance and music oriented.
I have used spoken word, live spoken word.
Or poetry,
often,
you mentioned.
Often they can be thematically developed, not a narrative per se,
right.
But certainly dealing with poverty, dealing with breaking out of boundaries. You know, I can choose broad themes, which create an atmosphere, versus following a storyline.
How much is set or costume involved in anything at all, or are you mostly working?
Some of the pieces, like the pieces I did with Francis, were all about the set, and we were creating on this malleable set. And
that's the architecture production.
Yeah, yeah. And I've used huge strips of cloth hanging from the ceiling, 4 feet wide, that we manipulate. Sometimes I will have artists that I've worked with, like Willie Marlowe and John Mass and Michael Oatman, and we will project their imagery on the back scrim.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So it becomes very much a part of.
There was also a production we did with a stairway.
That was with Michael. He was at the with Ken Ragsdale as well. He had an they had an exhibit installation at the Opalka Gallery.
Oh yes,
in Albany,
yes.
Which is part of Russell Sage College, and it took up the entire space almost. It was wild. It was absolutely wild. So we created a number of solos in and out through the exhibit. But he was honoring Duchamp, descending a staircase. And so he created a video of my dancers, body painted. And then I created a dance to Joan Tower's music, actually. And I had this industrial staircase about, I don't know, 10 feet tall that could move. And then so you can be inspired by other artists.
So you're dancing with the staircase.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great, Casey.
And we would, and this was a huge thing, and we were flipping it and turning it, and I mean, not fast, but
and
that
so
was fun. And we still do that piece.
Oh, do you?
Yes, we still perform that work. It's in our repertory.
Well, I'd love to see that again. Yeah. That'd be great. Okay, so your work mostly is with modern dance.
Yes.
But you're classically trained is the discipline that one needs, almost like an athlete.
All dancers are classically, more often than not, are classically trained in ballet. Right. They all my dancers come out of professional programs. Modern dance in itself is a very unique experience. And we also cross-train, which means we're doing very specific kinds of exercise to make sure we keep the body balanced and strong. So there's a lot of components.
It sounds like, how would you compare a dancer and an athlete?
Absolutely. I have 6 dancers in my company. When we do a full concert, it's 70 minutes long. And my dancers are in every single piece.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to have stamina.
Oh, yeah.
You need to have strength.
We rehearse almost 18 hours a week. It takes us 2 hours to warm up and then 2 hours to rehearse.
Right.
You can't just...
That sounds pretty athletic. That sounds pretty good. You're having an audition for your company tomorrow.
I am. We are seeking a dancer for the next season. We one dancer left. Because sometimes they retire and there is turnover. So we are seeking one dancer for the next season. But I have to say, I have 6 dancers in my company right now. 3 of them have been with the company for more than 10 years.
Wow.
And the rest are anywhere from 2 to 6 years. And that kind of longevity is extraordinary because you really, as a choreographer, can then pull on your dancers and you can say something to them and they understand what you're talking about and they will experiment.
That's lovely.
I use their experimentation as much as I do my own specific choreography.
Wow.
It's much more exciting.
Wow, that's great. I was going to say, what's the shelf life of a dancer? But I think we've already covered
it. I have one dancer
that.
Who is 36 or 37.
And that's considered?
Most dancers have retired by then.
Really?
Do
dancers open their own dance company, or do they?
I mean, there's a number of different things that they can do. They may become choreographers in their own right. They may teach. They may go into, but I have had dancers that have gone in, become certified in Pilates and yoga and gyrotonic. You know, they'll do other kinds of body work. I just didn't want to leave the field of dance, which is why I moved into this choreographic component of my life.
So the Egg Kids Project is an interesting project that you've begun, and it's an outreach project from what I understand.
We started this 4 or 5 years ago, and what we wanted to do was introduce young dancers, teenage dancers, to the experience of being part of a performance which incorporates a professional company.
Sure.
So I was doing it for a while, but then I switched it over to Sarah Senecal, one of my dancers, where we auditioned. We notify area studios. We audition a number of students, all teenagers. We choose a certain number, depending on the size we need for the piece. Sarah choreographs it on them, so they have to commit to 9 or 10 rehearsals and to the performance itself. But I think it's a wonderful experience for them to get a sense of what it's like to be with a professional company. We do not perform at the same time. We're not in the same pieces. This year, we work with the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, SPAC, with a number of outreach components in their education department. And they have a special event at the end of May up at in SPAC. And they've asked the Egg Kids to be part of that. It actually incorporates a large number of student artists.
Oh, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's really.
So that's neat. The end of May. That's the 20.
It might be the 31st.
31st of May on Sunday.
Right.
At the Saratoga Performing Arts.
And there will be several
Center.
Outdoor stages, small stages, and then there's a finale on the main stage.
Oh. And your company's also performing?
No.
No, it isn't.
No, this is for young people.
Perfect. Okay, so on March the 7th, the Troy Savings Bank, the Bach Cello Suites.
7:30.
I'll look forward to seeing you there. Thank you so much for stopping by.
It's been my pleasure.
Lovely. Thank you. Bye.